which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard points, Dean.
Maybe he will.
I don't think it'd be hard to convince him to if you wanted to.
What do you want
to
know?
What's opening this weekend?
So to speak.
Dean, you broke your own record of going blue. You broke your own personal best.
I've never done that within 20 seconds.
Mary, you're fantastic.
Something to shoot for next week, so to speak.
Is the summer so far, you know, Dean, everyone knows this in the world of movies, that you got your two hot seasons, the summer and Christmas. Is this summer so far panning out to be what they had hoped or not so much?
Yeah, it's. I think dollar-wise is just a little bit under where it was in the past, but I think most of the industry people are pretty pleased with what has been happening this year. One, that it seems to be leveling off, but also with films like Captain America that came out and broke box office records, Jungle Book that came out and broke box office records, Zootopia that I think really surprised everybody, came out and surprised everybody. And this is before the traditional summer season of films, which will include Independence Day, which will include Ghostbusters.
I'm looking forward to Ghostbusters. Am I the only one?
No. I am,
okay,
too.
Good.
I don't care what everybody's saying. I do not understand this thing that came out of that it was the least liked trailer on YouTube or whatever it was. I mean, you can so easily manipulate anything online. And, you know, once... You know, the kind of the ball starts rolling down the hill. It becomes sort of self-perpetuating. I don't think there's anything bad about the trailer at all. I'm looking forward to seeing these,
crazy broads,
comedy crazy broads. and seeing what they're going to do with this. I don't know if some people just hold this film in such sacrilege that anybody trying to
it's never going to be right.
Lessens it in some way. Aykroyd, Bill Murray, many of the originals are, if they're not part of this, remake.
Is Ernie Hudson in it?
Ernie Hudson, I think, has a very small role in it. I think he has a small role in the new one.
So they are still paying tribute to the old, but they're bringing in a new cast, and why wouldn't they? You can't go wrong with this movie. It's such a beloved part of Americana in the cinema. People love Ghostbusters. It's going to do fine.
I think it's going to be perfectly fine. I am a huge fan of Kristen Wiig, a huge fan of Melissa McCarthy. Kate McKinnon is...
Oh, she's a crazy girl.
Hilarious.
I know.
Leslie Jones from Saturday Night Live, hilarious.
She looks good in it, too, because sometimes a little of her goes a long way on SNL for me, but she looks... this is a perfect role for her, I think.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great. And that opens... let me see here. Ghostbusters is July 15th.
Yeah.
Yay.
So we have to wait a little while for that one. But, Aykroyd's in the new one. Ernie Hudson is in the new one. Annie Potts is in the new one.
Oh.
Sigourney Weaver is got a small role in the new one as well.
Zurg.
And that actor Hemsworth, who spends all of his time trying to look like Kevin, our producer, is also in
it. He's in it?
Yeah, playing a guy named Kevin.
Kismet.
Yep.
Lawsuit.
Yep. We're suing.
Lawsuit.
We've already talked to the Briskman brothers. Dean, before we get to the new movies, and I know you're tired of talking about Mel Gibson, but I have to tell you this. There's a channel on my satellite that just shows coming attractions for movies, and sometimes I'll sit through three or four or five of them, and there's this Mel Gibson movie coming out called Bloodfather that looks really good. Have you seen any or heard anything about this?
I have not seen the trailer. One of the downsides, one of the many downsides of being a critic is you've got to sit through all the awful movies.
Sure.
But also, we rarely see trailers when we go see movies. Usually they just show us the movie. So, if I don't go seeking out a trailer, I don't see them. But I have heard about this Bloodfather. And I got to tell you, I'm looking forward to it as well. Elizabeth Rome is in it. William H. Macy is in it. Diego Luna. Some of my favorite actors are in this. And I will say, despite the little blow-up that Mr. Gibson and I once had, I think he's a great actor.
Yeah.
I think he's a great actor who had, hopefully has resolved personal problems, but he clearly had some personal issues going on.
Sure.
But I was one of the few critics that gave, what was the movie that that Jodie Foster directed? The Beaver.
Oh, right. The Beaver? 5-6 years ago, yeah.
That was, you know, kind of an insane premise of this guy who goes insane. Talk about irony.
Yeah.
Who wears this beaver puppet on his hand all the time. And Mel Gibson was really nothing short of brilliant in that movie. So much so that I don't know if this was a joke on the part of the movie studio. They put my quote on the poster.
Oh, they did?
This was the movie after Edge of Darkness where we had our little
tiff
thing. But I thought it was the funniest thing I ever saw that after everybody had talked about Mel Gibson and I, and my quote winds up on the poster.
That's
what
beautiful.
Was the quote?
I don't know. It was very complimentary.
It was favorable. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like Mel Gibson is, you know, a great actor, and I forget what I said exactly, but.
Well, this new movie with Mel Gibson, he plays a father who's trying to protect his 16-year-old daughter from drug lords, and I guess the original title was Liam Neeson Said No. But it looks really good.
You know what? We have to do something with our 50-plus actors.
Right. Right.
We've got to start making more movies like this.
Yep, Liam, true.
Liam can't do everything.
No, he's busy. Dean is our guest, and we're going to talk about the new movies that are coming out this weekend. There's some good ones. Stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
We're talking to Dean, aren't we?
Yeah, Dean. We're talking to Dean. Dean's talking to us. It's the way conversation should be. It's Dean Richards.
I forgot what we were doing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Dean, a couple of...
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You left an impression on you from that last segment.
That's no insult. Yeah, that's Wendy's way of complimenting you.
Who were we talking to 90 seconds ago?
Dean, finally, Finding Dory, the sequel to Finding Nemo, finally.
Yeah, were you a fan of the Nemo?
Loved it.
That was the sweetest movie.
Loved it.
I couldn't agree with you more. I was shocked that it's 13 years ago.
How about that?
It
really?
It was a long time ago.
Yep.
I couldn't believe that it was 2003 that Finding Nemo came out. That was the story of the father who was looking for his son, Fish.
Mm-hmm.
A little side character was this cute little absent-minded Dory. Now, most of the focus is on Dory herself. Voiced beautifully by Ellen DeGeneres. Dory now is very, very absent-minded, loses her parents, and the main plot line of the fish is Dory trying to find her parents in this film with the help of lots of other undersea characters. Beautifully played, I think. Often I don't think that the voice characterizations make that much difference in animated films.
Yeah.
It's mostly the storyline. It's mostly the animation. It's mostly the cleverness of how the movies are put together. And you can pretty much put any actor, I think, usually into some of these voice characterizations, and that wouldn't make that much of a difference. I think this is the rare film where it really makes a difference. Ellen DeGeneres really brings out the dimensions of not only the character, but really blossoms. This story, I think it's an exceptional voice piece of work that she does. Albert Brooks is back as Marlin, Nemo's father, who helps to find the parents because he understands when you lose a relative, when you lose somebody close to you, how important it is to go to great lengths and even life-threatening lengths to try to find that person. I also want to point out a young actor by the name of Hayden Rowlands. He's 11 years old. He's a sixth grader from Aurora, Illinois.
Oh, wow.
Who got picked to do the voice of Nemo.
How cool is that?
And he, he's a young actor. He's, submitted his name, for different auditions and things like that. And he got, went to some auditions and kept getting called back and called back and called back. And this very, very nice young man who I met the other day got the job and is now portraying one of the most famous fish in the world.
That's spectacular. Good for him.
Lucky kid.
Congratulations to Hayden.
Yeah.
Ed O'Neill is one of the voices in the movie. Diane Keaton, Ty Burrell, Caitlin Olson. from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, Eugene Levy, Idris Elba. They all do, I think, really exceptional work in this movie. And, you know, the story is a nice one. It's exciting. It's funny. At times touching. At times may bring out a little bit of a tear, the way Pixar movies can sometimes do. Does it have the same impact as Finding Nemo? Probably doesn't. You know, so we've gotten so many Pixar movies in the last 13 years. I think I don't know that anything really can you know, strike you as being so impactful as the original on this, which is not to say that it's deficient in any way. It's,
yeah,
it's a perfectly nice film. Very, very entertaining, very funny, very sweet. I liked it quite a bit, and I wound up giving it a big old Dean's List A.
Oh, excellent. I'm glad to hear that. How has Pixar managed to pull this off when so many other movie companies can't seem to figure it out? They appeal to so many different levels. Kids love these movies. Adults love these movies. What do they know that other movie companies don't know?
I'm shocked that other movie companies haven't been able to figure out that it's all in the story.
Yeah.
It's always all in the story. Pixar, the making of this film, I talked with the director. I interviewed Ellen DeGeneres and Ed O'Neill and Ty Burrell and some of the other cast members over this past weekend in Los Angeles, which will play on my Sunday show this coming weekend. But also the director of the movie, Andrew Stanton. And you know they worked for 7 years on this movie?
Wow, no.
He told me that it took... I wondered why it took so... Why we had to wait 13 years. I can understand 3 years, five years, 7 years. That's a pretty long time to wait for a sequel. 13 years. He said it was 7 years before they even got the story right. So I think a lot of that speaks to your question. They could have easily slapped something together,
sure,
got it out there, made a boatload of money pretty quick, but they really were very careful in telling the story. They're so careful in the way that they animate things. They will have animators. I've been to the Pixar studio,
yeah,
creative factory. It's just outside of San Francisco. It's the most amazing creative environment. It's a big playpen for adults where, like, in this case, they sat around aquariums of fish watching the actual fish swimming around in the aquarium so they could get the motions of the fish done accurately.
Dean, you know, that's what we do here on the show when we're planning our next day's broadcast, is we just stare at fish and go, let's kind of do what the bettas are doing.
Somebody sprinkles some flakes on you,
right,
food.
Right.
Well, the bettas kill each other,
yeah,
don't they,
until get a little,
the end?
Sometimes they do.
You know,
yeah,
now that I think of it, yeah, being in the Allstate Showcase studio window is very much like being in an aquarium.
It's the same thing.
So, you know, people come by and tap on the window, and we jerk when people do that.
Right. Hey, sometimes a net will come in and take Bob and Marianne away. It's the weirdest thing you ever saw.
I thought that they were just inside the little treasure chest that
no,
opened and closed.
No.
I didn't know that they were actually gone.
They just took them away.
I really got to pay attention to Robert Feeder a little more.
So, all right,
I think it's quality. I think
good.
It's the quality that makes Pixar movies so great. The Finding Dory movie, really great, even for little kids. But there is a level of something going on in this movie for just about everybody, including adults. You're going to enjoy it when you take your kids. You're not going to sit there bored, like sometimes happens when adults take their kids to go see a movie. So I think you're going to like it. I think, you know, you may come away saying it's not quite Finding Nemo. It's not quite Inside Out or Wall-E or some of the really groundbreaking Pixar films, but it's more than perfectly entertaining, perfectly funny, very sweet. It's got everything going for it. So I really liked that one. The other one that's opening tomorrow is called Central Intelligence. That's with Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Kevin Hart. If only Kevin Hart could be a little busier.
Yeah, I
know. And be in more movies.
Know.
Poor guy can barely get a job.
Well.
I haven't seen this yet. I'm going to see this tonight. But it's a story about...
On purpose, right? You're going to see it on purpose?
Bill is not a fan of Kevin
Hart.
Don't
like Kevin Hart.
I don't know why.
What's the problem?
I don't know.
He's jealous.
What's the problem?
It's jealousy.
Do you not like short people in general? No,
I love short people.
Phil wishes he could sneak in and out of places easier, so he's jealous of his height.
I don't know why Phil don't like me.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't explain it.
Well, let us know on
is
that.
Is it just the, is it his style of comedy? Is it?
I think the word comedy is used improperly when describing him. Oh. He's never made me laugh. I don't know what it is. Okay. I just don't, I don't get him at all.
He makes everybody else laugh.
I know.
Much to your chagrin.
I know. I have chagrin.
You know, there must be, you know, 3 to 5 times a week I hasten back to what Roy Leonard always used to tell me. It's why Baskin Robbins makes 31 flavors.
He's right.
Something for everyone.
Why do I always get vanilla there, then? Yeah,
I don't
tell
know.
Me that?
I don't know. But I just had this conversation with one of my best friends who's never liked Will Ferrell. He watches Will Ferrell and he goes, why does this guy get movies? And I love Will Ferrell. Yeah. So
even recently?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, well, you're just messed up, Bill.
It's all that chagrin.
There is something wrong with you and your chagrin.
I got too much chagrin.
On that.
All right, so.
Yeah, this looks like, from the descriptions that I read of this, like, you know, sort of a odd couple kind of pairing of a guy who used to be the most popular guy in school, Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
With the guy who was once a geek, now Dwayne The Rock Johnson. But I'll see it tonight, and I'll report back on Steve Cochran's show on that one tomorrow.
Excellent. Excellent. Dean, thanks so much. We appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Always my pleasure.
It's Dean Richards, everybody. We'll take a quick break and find out what Steve has next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.